James, the fifth chapter, the Lord just spoke this to my heart, that James really is an end time book. It really is, as you read it and read it very carefully, the general epistle of James is an end time document. It tells you how to pray, tells you how to talk, tells you how to think, tells you how to treat one another, you know, in view of the coming of the Lord. It speaks of revival. James is a powerful five chapters. In fact, I want to be getting more into that in the days to come here in our ministry. But James, the fifth chapter, especially that fifth chapter, let's start reading at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. A very precious verse. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. That doesn't mean you tell every little nitty-gritty detail about your life to everybody else. But there's a time we all need some help. And we all need to stand together. And I believe that's another message at another time. But here's where I'm going. The latter part of James 5:16 said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The Amplified said, "The red-hot prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elijah was a man subject to like passions. He was just like you. He was just like me in the earthly sense, you understand, just as we are. But there's something that made a difference about James, and there's something that makes a difference about you and about all of us. He prayed. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth but the space of 3 years and 6 months. Think about that. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want to just share for a while this morning on it's time to pray. Not insinuating that we're not praying, but encouraging us to accelerate in the field of prayer. There's some very simple points, and yet to me very powerful points, that come out of James the fifth chapter. Really, I think there's three words that God wants us to look at, and that is the word patience. Because in the first part of that fifth chapter, it speaks twice. Well, actually, in James 5, verse 7, be patient, long patience, be also patient, be patient, the patience of Job. Patience is mentioned or inferred some 7 times. Patience. Also, there is a word pray or prayer which is mentioned 7 times. Patience, either directly said or inferred, and then pray or prayer. And prayer is something that all of us can do. Patience keeps us on track, waiting for the manifestation. And then, of course, we also know that patience without faith is not going to get it. That's just wearing something out. And prayer without faith is not going to get it. That's just a religious exercise in words. So let's just say patience. Faith patience, prayer patience. And in your patience possess ye your souls. There's some interesting verses. Hebrews 6:12 teaches us that by faith and patience we inherit the promises. By faith and patience, both. And Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience after you've done the will of God. So you've done the right thing, now have patience. Well, I did the right thing. Well, have patience. And then Hebrews 12:1. Let us run with patience. Let's run the race with patience. James 1:3. The trying of your faith worketh patience. James 1:4. Let patience have her perfect work. And then James 5:11. You have heard of the patience of Job. Well, this is it. You've heard about it. This is it. Job did not quit. I think that's the quickest and the shortest and the most effective thing I could say about Job, the patience of Job, is simply that in faith he did not quit. You say, well, he said some things he shouldn't have said, haven't we all? But he didn't quit. And I thank God for that. What an example. Now, you know, the word patience is cheerful faith endurance. Cheerful. I put the word faith in there. Cheerful faith endurance. It's hope-filled endurance. I'll tell you, patience can wear you out if you're not waiting in faith. But God wants us to be cheerful in the process. Thank God things are getting better every day. And hope. Oh, thank God for hope. You know, hope's the happy rope holder. That while faith and love are going, you know, hope just keeps going. Thank God for hope. And those are subjects I don't have time to get into. But I want to just localize our remarks today with just some very keen insight. Elijah was no different than you or I physically. He was a human being. He had a brain. He had a body. And the Bible said that Elijah, this wonderful man of God, powerful man of God, awesome man of God, he was a man. He was a man. And sometimes we forget that these Bible characters were men or women. Brother Gentry brought out from Judges 4, Deborah. Man, what a woman. Where'd she come from? And the king said, please, I don't want to fight unless you go with me, Deborah. Wimp. She said, I'll go with you, but everybody's going to know a woman was with you. When the victory's won, women are going to get the credit for this. About time you women get some credit. I'm not talking about credit cards either. So we read about Deborah and we think, well, she was some kind of a born supernatural kind of a person. No, no. She was a woman who focused on faith in God and obedience to God and just was obedient to the gift and the gifting that God had placed within her. She was a prophetess. And she was just, you didn't make a big deal about it. When the need, you know, I said something that some people have commented on and said, I appreciate that. Your gift makes way for you. You know, sometimes people just drag their chin around. Nobody recognizes my gift. Well, one of two things. Either maybe you're not praying about your gift, or maybe you don't have a gift. Everybody has a gift and giftings. Your gift will make a way for you. How in the world did they find John the Baptist out in the wilderness with no radio, no television, no pews, no padded pews, no air conditioning? How in the world? And then when you got there, he just slammed you in the face. I mean, he wasn't Mr. Personality, nor was Dr. James. When you got there, he said, repent, you viper. Oh, he was. But let's just hold it where it is. Elijah was a man. Now that encourages me because it lets me know that God can use a man or God can use a woman. Any man or any woman who will just obey the Lord. Elijah was a man. He's a rugged man. He was a prophet of God. He was, you know, what can you say to add to the life of Elijah? I mean, this man was an awesome man, but he was a man. But he also was a man of God. And that's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference in an intellectual or a gifted person or an athlete or whatever it may be. An individual or a man or a woman of God. I want to be a man of God. We want to be those that represent God. So Elijah was a man. he was a man of God. But Elijah was a man who prayed. That's what set him apart. He was not only a man, he was not only a man of God, but he was a man who prayed. And the Bible tells us that his prayers worked. Very effective. He comes on the scene as Elijah the Tishbite. How would you like a name like that? Elijah the Tishbite. Really doesn't tell us much about it, does it? And he goes to work, does what God called him to do. But he was a man of prayer. You say, how do you know he was a man of prayer? Because God could talk to him. And God obviously spoke to him. It had to be that way. Are you going to walk into the palace of Ahab and your neck could be severed in a moment and say, there will be no rain for 3 years? Actually, no rain till I say so. Really what he said, there'll be no rain till I say so. See you later. He didn't even sing, just as I am without one plea. He just walked into the palace and said, there'll be no rain until I say so. And everybody probably just fell on the floor laughing. You know, have you heard what happened today? Is this so-called man of God came in and said, there'll be no rain for 3.5 years. And all they guffawed and slapped their knees, and this was really funny, until the rain doesn't happen for 3.5 years. And now the king is on his own beast of burden out trying to find the man of God. And he sends Obadiah, of course, you go one way, I'll go another way. And of course, you know the story, how that Obadiah encountered Elijah, and Elijah said, hi, how you doing? He said, oh my, you're the one. And he said, go tell the king there's going to be rain. He said, no way. Because he knew that the man's word was so accurate that if he didn't show up, and Elijah said, I promise, I'll be there. I'm not going to disappear on you. Well, we could go into that side of it. I see a lot of humor sometimes in the Bible, and I have to move right along here. But the Bible said that Elijah was a man who prayed. And there's something that you can do and I can do, no matter what our denominational affiliation or no denomination. We know the Lord. We can pray. We can pray. And there's so many words and so many choices and so much stuff in the air today. My. It's an intense time. It's an intense time. I mean, people are on the edge about what they believe or don't believe. People are on the edge. It's an intense time. But I'll tell you what we can do about it. We can pray. And according to my Bible and your Bible, when a man or a woman of God prays in faith, something happens. When we pray in faith, something happens. If you believe. He prayed. Now, this is interesting. He prayed. Then he comes back into the nation. I'm just hitting the high points of it. I don't have time to go into depth here. But please read in the king's account there, chapters 18 and 19. Awesome. He comes back. You know the story how that he said, okay, we're going to prove the real God that answers by fire. And so the prophets of Baal, he said, I'll give you first shot at it. And so he let them pray first, and they prayed and they screamed and they hollered and they cut themselves, and they just prayed until they were exhausted. And Elijah just kind of made fun of them. He said, well, you know, you could say anything that he might have said. And then he said, okay, so they rebuilt the altar. And you know, that's the thing of prayer. You rebuild the altar. He rebuilt the altar. Everywhere Abraham would go, he would build an altar. Everywhere Abraham would go, he would offer a sacrifice. Well, you've built other altars. You've sacrificed before. He said, but I'm going to build another altar and I'm going to sacrifice again. Because you don't quit doing what God told you last. And so, you know, then after all, everything is in place. They bring in barrels of water and pour water over the wood. Now, you know, a fireplace, thank God for gas starters and all kind of starters. But I mean, did you ever try to get green wood to burn? Have fun. But here he pours water over the wood to make no doubt about it. We're going to find out the God who answers by fire. And he prayed an 18-second prayer. 18 seconds. Maybe you'd drawl it out a little bit, but around 18 seconds he prayed. And the Bible said that the fire of God not only ignited the sacrifice, it burned up the stones. I mean, there was nothing but a black hole. Because when Satan has no fire, God has all fire. Drove down Forest Park the other day and I thought, boy, that helps my blood pressure stay normal, not having to drive by that every day. I don't like to see demons exalted. Halloween's not funny. Demons aren't funny. Devils aren't. When you've dealt with as many of them as I've dealt with, they're not funny. They ruin people's lives. They represent the fall in the garden. But that's just the way I feel about it. He prayed. The fire of God came down. And you say, Pastor Nichols, could there be anything greater than you have this altar and you have this sacrifice and you have this wet wood and the fire of God comes down and consumes the whole thing and there's nothing but just a black hole in the earth? Whew. Boy, that's ultimate power. No, it's not ultimate power. Because now they need rain. After the fire, you need the rain. Oh, God, send the fire. That's good. The fire proved a point, proved a strong point. But they still need rain. The earth is parched. And the Bible speaks of the early and the latter rain. And I'll just cut to the chase and remind you that Elijah prayed 7 times for rain and once for fire. Now, let me make this straight. You know, he wasn't getting more righteous every time he prayed. He was showing us the example of all prayers aren't answered instantly. All miracles don't immediately fall into place. Sometimes there's a time element, such as it was downtown, 13 years before we saw some things fit in place that it looked like we'd completely lost everything in a given situation there. 13 years later, God put the pieces back together. God doesn't see time like we see time. We get nervous and antsy. But the earth is parched, and folks, we need rain. We need the rain of God in our land. We need the rain of God in our churches. We need the rain of God in Washington. We need the rain of God from coast to coast and border to border. We need something of returning to the foundation that this nation was built on. Thank God we still have in God we trust. And the thing that I just want to bring to us here today is not a matter of bombarding God. It's not a matter of making God. It was not that. I believe that it's an example to us of patience. You've heard of the patience of Job. And what was the experience of Job? 18 months, something, for some reason, I'm not calling that up right now, but around 18 months, something right in there. You know, that's a long time to have a hard time in your life. And the thing that I want to say to our church, Brother Gentry said there was an election where people that pray, we have a tendency to wait till the last minute and then want to fast and pray day and night. God said, start beforehand and start praying. And that's what we're doing. I'm not afraid to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'm not afraid to pray that. Even about something I don't like, I'm not afraid. I've learned I might as well pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because if it's not his kingdom and it's not his will, then it's going to be a rough go. It's going to be a rough ride. If it's just us and our desires and our will. So church, how should we pray? Pray in the Spirit. Pray with groanings that cannot be uttered. There are prayers that break the backs of words. Old Dr. John R. Rice said that years ago, and I've never forgotten it, in his little book, Prayers Asking, the Answer to Prayers Receiving. There are prayers that break the backs of words. You don't know how to pray. And so we sometimes pray with just weeping or groanings or pray in the Spirit. That's not unbelief. That's not unbelief. And I believe, you say, why seven times? Let's go back one more time and let me say it again. Because you find in the same chapter this reference to Elijah. Seven times it speaks about pray or prayer. Also, you see the word patience. And you have need of patience after you've done the will of God. You know, in my life, it seems like God's given me my share of patience in given situations. I didn't volunteer for it. It just seemed like it worked out that way. Everything doesn't happen instantly. But I remember I read the story when I was a little boy in school about the turtle and the hare. Do you remember the little books that you read? And you know, Mr. Rabbit was so quick and so fast. I mean, he could leave Mr. Turtle in the dust. But Mr. Turtle said, the way I move, I got to keep moving. And so the turtle kept moving while Mr. Hare took a nap. And guess who won the race? And I'm here to tell you, the race is not to the quick. The race is not to the wise. The race is to those who dare to put their faith in God with cheerful endurance. Not an old sad face, well, I'm hanging in. No. Cheerful, hope-filled endurance. Full of hope, full of cheer. There's a church in the world that has proved that God's a good God. That's been proven in this house. Through many different types of circumstances, we would not be here. We would not be here except God has been a good God. And you have been a faithful and a patient people. So as I look at that, God said, if my people, which are called by my name, you see, the primary purpose of church is that people find Jesus. That's not all of it, but I mean, how many people go into a church today, never hear an invitation, leave without any opportunity to accept Jesus as personal Savior? And I won't go any further with that, but my point could be well proved if I were to bring statistics up. Church is about people coming to Jesus. It's also about people growing in the knowledge of the Word and the knowledge of Jesus. The knowledge of the Word and the knowledge of Jesus, right? It's about praise and worship. We started this morning with prayer. Wasn't that wonderful? Just worshiping and praising, just praising and worshiping God. You know, you don't have to drive with that. It just works. You start to praise the Lord, He'll show up every time. Praise be unto God. Across this land, there are calls to worship, but it never happens. Morning worship service, but it just doesn't get around to it. For real, genuine New Testament praise and worship. But God said, if my people... And then, of course, fellowship comes into it. Yeah, we enjoy the fellowship one another, but you can go to a bar and have fellowship if you're not born again. I mean, you can go to an athletic event. You can have backyard barbecue and have fellowship with somebody. But we have fellowship on a different plane because we're going to the same place. We've been born again by the same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're all recipients of the grace of God. And we're here today because God is a good God. But God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. You say, I've heard you say this so many times lately. That's true. I thought I was supposed to speak Tuesday night. It was a conference with a lot of international people, and found out it was Monday night. So I really had to do some negotiating with God, and really God just dropped in my heart many things that I'm saying right now. But the thing that I want to just bring to us, all day long, they'd had people speaking, and the day before, and almost every one of them were ministering from, if my people, which are called by my name, and here I come again, completely, you know, not there, and minister that. Folks, it's time to pray. Some way, somehow, find some extra time to just wait before God. Pray over our nation. It's worth praying about. I'll tell you, this minister that talked to me this last week, I couldn't tell you what exploded in my heart. He said, you know, Americans have so many toys, they have so many gadgets, they have so many things. It's kind of hard to keep your concentration. You know, you're trying to talk to somebody and they're texting the whole time you're trying to talk to them. I'm not used to that yet. Turn it off. I'm trying to talk to you. So they put it in their pocket and they're still texting. I'll let you deal with that in youth group. All right, let's get back on track here. It's hard to talk to somebody who won't talk to you, isn't it? Here's the thing that I want to leave with us, though. Patience, cheerful endurance, hope-filled endurance, enduring patience. Don't give up. Don't quit. Hold steady. Elijah's a classic point. He calls down the fire, but we must have the rain. It's not enough to call down the fire. Oh, we're going to fire the fire of God. I believe in it. I preach it. I love it. Ooh, I love the fire of God. But I'm telling you, we need the rain. We've got to have the rain. And there were seven times that he sent the servant out looking for the rain. And I don't think it was wearing God out. I don't think it was an endurance race with God. I think God's giving us the illustration that everything doesn't happen on our timetable. But if it doesn't happen when you think it ought to happen, keep on believing. Keep on praying. Keep on giving. Hold steady. Don't give up. Don't quit. God's on the throne. Hallelujah. I said God is on the throne. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't let your mouth overload you. Mr. James talks about that. Watch your words, 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 words. I mean, lock into a believer's grave. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. So what are you saying, Pastor? Elijah was a man. He was a man of God. He was a man who prayed. He was a man who prayed again. Thank God. He prayed again. And do you know that a nation, now dream with me for a moment. Dream with me for a moment. An entire nation was changed, or change was initiated in one day. Read it. You can't read it any other way. An entire nation, change was initiated. 400 prophets of Baal, and Jezebel had 450 more around her table. 850 prophets of Baal were slain on that occasion. And the rain of God fell. Because when iniquity goes out, God comes in. When sin goes out, God comes in. When we get rid of the garbage, we can clean house. You know what's amazing? You drop off one or two things that you're doing that you know you shouldn't be doing, and just watch God move in. Watch God move in. Just one thing, two things, three things. Just stop saying, stop doing, stop thinking. Throw in the trash something you've been reading that you shouldn't be reading. Just get rid of one thing, two things, three things, and see what God will do for you. See how God will move in. See how the glory of God will begin to fill the house. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their evil ways. We've all got a few, don't we? God said, I'll hear their prayer and I'll heal their land.